things that God gives us, it has consequences to them that we need to abide by, look out for, watch for, and expect. When we get things from God, that there's going to be some consequences that come along with it. And here to John chapter 9, start reading verse 1. Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And boy, it would have been a lot better in some ways, if you look at it from the carnal eyes, if that would have been the end of the story for that fella. If that would have been it, and the Bible moved on, and he would have had nothing else to, no consequences that would have followed that. I say for a short period of time anyways, he would have been a much happier man. Now he can see, now God's blessed him, and now even though it's by some odd means that you and me would look at and say, that's kind of different, Lord. Why couldn't you just, you know, anoint him with some oil or something? I don't understand the clay made out of the spittle. But whatever reason God wanted to do it that way, whatever means God has to accomplish his end, the healing was accomplished and the man can see now. And boy, he would have loved to just walk off and say, that's it. Thank you, Jesus, I'm going. I've got what I needed from you. I'm out the door. But there were some consequences that came along with that blessing. Can you say amen? Uh-huh. It happens that way all the time. Everybody remember Paul? Who was called Saul. I mean, he was out persecuting. He was out speaking against all of God's children. And he was a man of stature and a man that had position and a man that had some authority behind him. When he went out and when he did his persecutions, I mean, it wasn't just idle chatter and it wasn't just the bark of a dog. I mean, there was bite that came along with it. And he's seen him put to death, Paul did. And he's seen him. He's seen everything that you could possibly imagine when it comes to the persecution of the Christians. I think when he was called Saul, I believe he was right in the midst of it. But then God came on the road to. Somebody help me. On the road to Damascus. There you go. I was going to say Tarsus, but I didn't. On the road to Damascus, there God came to him, and the light shone, and he got a great blessing. He got his life turned around. I mean, the former things were passed away, and now when Ananias or the priest that was the person that God sent to go down and pray for him said, now, hey, wait a minute, God, what was his name? Ananias. He said, well, now, wait a minute. God said, this is one that persecutes the church. And but God said, no, now he prays. And now he's praying, man. Things is all turned around now. It's not the same Saul that you knew before. I've blessed him. And I've poured out a blessing on him and changed his life and turned him around. And now he's okay to go see him. You can call him brother. You can slide up right next to him and shake his hand and hug his neck because his life's turned around. And that was wonderful for Saul. But there was going to come a time when there were some consequences that came along with that blessing. And now his name's Paul. And now when he speaks, there's others that want to persecute him. And there's others that want to come and look at him and say, why are you speaking in his name? Why are you the one that's holding up this Jesus? Why are you the one that's preaching this Christ? And the same persecutions that Paul lashed out on others came to be lashed out on him. And he took the stripes and the stones pummeled his body. And different times he was left for dead. Why? Because there was consequences that came along with that blessing. Sometimes we sit in a pew and we think, God bless me, and I'll be happy when you do. But when God comes by and moves with his Spirit, he expects something from me and you. He expects us to take that blessing and do something with it. And even if it means consequences which sometimes seem adverse to us, he still expects us to want that blessing. Paul changed his whole life, turned everything around. dark was night, or dark was light now, and night was day, and man, everything was beautiful. Everything was great, and it was all coming up roses, Brother Richard. But there came a time when those roses started having some thorns on them in Paul's life. And he still had to stay true to God. And when Paul says, I finished the fight, he had a fight to finish. I mean, when Paul says, I've run the race and it's done now, it wasn't an easy stroll in the park for Paul. I mean, there came some consequences with that blessing, but he stayed true to God, and he'd done something with what God gave him, and he accomplished something that it's safe to say no mortal man in the New Testament era accomplished with what God done in Paul's life. He stayed true to God, but he had to do it over top of all the consequences that came along with that blessing. And now here this man is. He was blind, and now he can see. But the story doesn't end with that, because there's some consequences. Verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, nah, he's like him. He finally speaks up. He says, I am he. Therefore they said unto them, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. In verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees that aforetime was blind. Now this is a man that says, the neighbors all said, isn't this the one that sat and begged? So when it come to social standing, I don't think this man had a lot. But what little social standing he may have had, maybe even though he sat by the wayside and begged, maybe he was a beggar of that day, but maybe he came from a good family, had a good name behind him. For whatever little social standing he may have had, when that blessing came from God, one of the consequences of that was that he lost every bit of social standing that he had accumulated in this world. Because when they were done with him and they questioned him, they even called him a liar. They said, no, it couldn't be happening. We're going to take you right to the Pharisees right now and let them call you on the carpet. You're not in our social graces anymore, mister. Before you were blind and you were just sitting by there begging, we tossed you a dime or two every now and then, and everything was okay. We tolerated you. We seen you there. We spoke a few kind words to you every now and then, every other day or so. But now this is just too much, and we don't want you even in here anymore. We're taking you out to the Pharisees right now so they can deal with you about this. One consequence of that blessing was he lost every bit of social standing that he possibly had gained in his lifetime. Lost it all because they took him to the Pharisees. They took him before those that had authority because they wanted something done about this man. This it. We don't want him around anymore. They want something done about it. Everybody has their word, don't they? Yours might not be good, but everybody has their word. Some people, you know, their word isn't good, but it's everybody's goal that their word is to be good. And what they say, even though people might think bad about you, and even though someone might not like your personality or like the way you are, or like other things about you, but if you can be the kind of person that says something and means it, then at least you have your word. You might not have any social standing. You might not have any position in this society. But you've got your word. And when you say it, it means that it's going to be good and it's going to be so. Well, what about this fella? Verse 13, they took him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him, how had he received his sight? He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. That's just the way Jesus did it. I think he did that stuff on purpose. He could have very well done it on a Monday. But that's his way of just getting under the skin of those that need someone to be under their skin. And Jesus might as well be under the skin of a sinner as anybody. And that's just Jesus' way of just getting his point across. He's going to do it on the Sabbath day. He had 7 days to pick from, and he picked the Sabbath day for a very good reason. So he's going to get everything stirred up. So the Pharisees told him that. So this man is not a God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. There it is. Now he's a liar. Your word is no longer any good. Your reputation has been taken away from you. God blessed you and your social standing is gone. You're no longer in the same position in this society that you were before. We want you cast out and taken to the Pharisees. Now he goes before the Pharisees and they look at him and tell you, we don't even believe your word. The reputation that you had down here, that the things you said were true, we don't believe you concerning this matter. You're nothing but a liar in our eyes. Because this is no way that this could have happened. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. So what did they do? Until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So now he's lost his social standing. He's lost his reputation. And now here comes mom and dad. And they said, verse 19, asked them, saying, is this your son? This is just like an interrogation. I mean, I think that's just exactly the way Pharisees were conducting this. This wasn't the nice interview that they were trying to write down for the Jerusalem social paper. This wasn't a nice conversation or a nice dialogue. Nobody wanted to be called before the Pharisees. Nobody wanted to have anything risk in their life from being taken away by being called in front of the Pharisees. And his mom and dad were no different at all. He said unto them, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? And they're still not believing it. They're still calling him a liar. How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Very cautious words they're about to say here. They're weighing out every word very carefully because they've got some things on the line themselves. And no doubt this fellow that had before been blind was sitting there thinking, now at least mom and dad's going to come. At least someone that loves me. At least someone that reared me. At least someone that raised me from an infant on up. Now they're going to come and someone is going to stand by my side. Someone is going to take up for me. And someone's going to say, his word is good. He is in a good position in this society. Now he's thinking mom and dad's going to come in and they're going to be for me. And they're going to help me to stand against this onslaught. They're going to help me to stand for what is right. But mom and dad start weighing those words out so carefully. They said, he is our son that was born blind, but by what means now he seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. The two people that he thought surely would be on his side. Brother Setzer, I've got a good family. They stamp me when it comes to the Lord, and when it comes to things of God, they'll stand right by me tooth and nail. I mean, it's a wonderful blessing to have a family that supports the Lord and the things of God and supports you when you try to do something for God. I mean, it's a great blessing that sometimes we take for granted. And here this poor fella, nothing but a blind beggar that God came by and healed. Now, Jesus came by and opened his eyes. And now he's hoping against hope that mom and dad will stand with him. Now, that though everyone else has turned their back, maybe my own parents will stand there. But they've got a special seat in the synagogue. They've earned that pew. I mean, their name's engraved in it. This was given by, and that's where they sit. And man, they don't want anything to rock the boat. They don't want anything to take away anything from them. Even if it means turning their back on their own son and saying, you just go ahead and deal with him. He's our son. He used to be blind. Now he can see, but we don't want anything to do with him. Now, if you've got anything to say, you go ask him. Even mom and dad turned their back. You talk about consequences from a blessing. This fellow had him. Everything that he had accumulated in this world, even though it was small, it was stripped away from him. Why? Just because Jesus came by and opened his eyes. Everything that he thought was important before, his social standing, his reputation, his own family support, and his own family members, taken away from him. Why? Because God came by and healed his eyes. And now these consequences are all piling up on him. He's lost it all now. He's lost it all now. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. And we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Now he's just down to nothing but the miracle that happened. He's down to nothing else but what he can get a hold of and say is true. He's lost things that he stood on for years. He's lost things that he depended on all of his life. So now when they come back to him again and ask him, there's just one thing that he can hold up and say is true. There's just one experience that he can grab a hold of. And he says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And so he said, it's all been taken away from me now. There's nothing else I can rely on, but I do have this experience. I do know that there was a time when I was a beggar. And I do know there was a time when people would throw me nickels and dimes and say, here, have a good day. And I do know that there was people that didn't think much of me. That used to be my life, but now I can see.